Book of Judges. Book of Judges. Chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. I want to preach on they prayed again. They prayed again. Judges 20. And start of verse 13. It says, "Now therefore deliver us the men of the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people were there 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. And the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, 'Which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin?' And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go first.'" Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about this story a little bit. Father, thank you for the word of God. This story has, you can read over it quickly and just be interested in the history of it, but there are some spiritual truths here that are interesting and things that happened that are a little hard to understand. So we look to you to understand them and look to your other scripture to understand them and help us to see what you have for us and to see what the mind of God is on some thoughts, Father. Help us to get the spiritual thoughts, not the concept that we were given by the world of God or by circumstances or by what we experience, but what you say about yourself. And we ask you to help us in this and speak to us with this and give us wisdom in this and help us to rightly divide the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of a gory story here. A Levite was traveling, and he was traveling through the land of the Philistines and of the Canaanites, he'd gathered his concubine back, which was, concubine's just a weird thing to define. It's kind of a wife that's not really married to. But he took his concubine back. She'd run away from him, and he got her back, and she wanted to come back with him, and he was coming back and traveling, and it was getting late at night, and he said, and his servant said, "Let's stop the next town." He says, "I don't want to stop in the land of the Philistines, in the land of the Canaanites. I want to stop in Israel. I'm not going to stop until then. I want to be in the area of God." And so he gets to a city called Gibeah in the tribe of Benjamin, part of Israel. He makes it late at night, and he comes in late at night, and they're just kind of sitting there in the street and going to town, him and his servant and his concubine, and the Levite, which is a priest of the tribe of the priests, and they'd take her to the house of God and such. And an old man is sitting out there in the street and says, "What are you doing out here? You're in danger." And he says, "Well, we've been traveling, and we wanted to get to Israel and to God's nation." And so he says, we need a place to stay. And so, and he says, "Well, come stay at my house. You better not be out here. It's a bad place." And so he takes him into his house, this older man. But the men of town, there were some immoral people. They're called sons of Belial. It's interesting. I thought that was an idolatrous term. It's not an idolatrous term. It's a term for the term means worthless and wicked. It's idle, wicked people. It's not necessarily the religion. It's just people who have nothing to do who get in trouble and do bad things. And there are certain people, if you offered them a great job, they wouldn't take it. They just won't. They want to get in trouble. And they are always very lazy and idle, and the term's used a lot of times in the Bible, and it was an insult. You're a son of Belial. You're a lazy bum who's worthless and a troublemaker. And so they came pounding the door and said, "Hey, we saw that man with you. Let us have him." They were homosexuals. And for all this, for the meaty who only shows you these sharp-looking, nice, normal homosexuals. That's all they show you. They don't show the gay pride parades. They don't show the weirdos. They don't talk about about the wickedness that a lot of them live. It's amazing. A homosexual will go out like Jeffrey Dahmer and other things. Also, they'll talk about it as a murder, but a lot of these are child molesters and murderers that are homosexuals. But they don't talk about it being a homosexual doing that. And I'm not saying all homosexuals are. They aren't all that. But it is abominable, and it is wicked. And I was talking to a homosexual who got converted and was not in a lifestyle anymore. And he told me, he said, we fight so voraciously. He said, I still have the desires, but he says, I'm not doing that anymore. I've been saved. But he said, the reason you do that is we are so guilty. He said, I can't tell you how vile we are in the stuff we do. And he said, we are so vile. And they came and said, give us that man. And he said, no, don't do that. He said, and the old man did. He said, take my daughter. He said, just don't do this man, which wasn't a good idea either. Well, it looks like it's hard to tell who he's talking about. He said he, but it looks like he's referring to the elderly man through the concubine out there, the Levi's concubine, to relieve these men. He abused her all night, and she came back, crawled back to the house, died on the doorstep. Levi gets ready to leave. He just says, all right, guys, time to go. And he opens the door, and there's his concubine. He says, get up, and then he realizes she's dead. And he's so upset about that happened in Israel, that he... he cuts her into little pieces. She was dead. And sends her to all corners of Israel and said, look what's done in Israel. What are we going to do about this? And soldiers came from all around Israel. And they said, we cannot allow this in our nation. That they would abuse someone like this and treat someone like this. And so they came to this Gibeah, the city, and said, give us the sons of Belial, and we're going to kill them. And because they murdered somebody, and everything will be fine. And they said, no, we're not going to give you those guys. They said, well, you do it, or we're going to war. Israel, the whole army of the nation, is against this city. And they said, and the people, they said, no, we're not going to give you those guys. And they said, okay. So Israel says, well, we've got to deal with this thing. So we got a wicked town here that's not going to deal with this. You're supposed to do this. The law says to do this. And we got to punish these guys. And so they said, let's go to war against these guys. Now, this is one city and a tribe. And as they get ready to go to war, Gibeah, the children of Benjamin were numbered at the time in verse 15. And Benjamin, the tribe, didn't want to give in to this either, one of the 12 tribes. And they had 26,000 men and 26,700 men to go fight against Israel. Now, Israel had 400,000 men, but they still didn't want to give up and give those men up. And it's amazing when you're doing wrong, the things you'll give up, the price you'll pay, a lot more than just those guys ended up dying. But it's amazing what you won't give up for sin. You will lose. Sin costs a lot more than you think it will. And you will pay. You will lose your family for sin. You will lose your joy for sin. You will lose your relationship with God for sin. You will lose your influence, your testimony, your ability to win souls. You will lose your friends, your family. Sin makes you stubborn. And it just does. And the price you pay is really dumb. But they did that. And so they began to... So Israel says, all right, Lord, tell us what to do. How do we fight these guys? Who goes first? And so they prayed about it. Verse 18, the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God. That's a good thing. And said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. So, very notable here. They want to do the right thing. They pray about it. God tells them what to do. And they do it. It's all good. And they go to the war and they go fight. Verse 19, the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array against to fight them in Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down of the Israelites of that day 22,000 men. We don't have any reason to think it's not the tribe they said. They were asking counsel of God, and they were being very spiritual at the time. And Israel, who prayed about it and who asked God's counsel, they did what God said, and they got whooped. They lost. They lost 22,000 men in one day by a smaller force. That isn't what you're expecting the end to be, right? You didn't expect it to end that way. You expected to go, they went in there and they beat him and God brought a great victory. That's not what happened. We too often live in fairy tale land. Isn't it weird that we in our imaginations and in everything except for life, we live in fairy tale land. And in life we say, but it doesn't work that like that in real life. Okay, the Bible's real life. And it didn't work like that in the Bible. I found because of the amount, excuse me, of entertainment people watch. I mean, just the amount of just flat out television and movies people watch. And in movies, it doesn't matter how bad it is, it always goes bad in the middle and the end. It always works out great. That's just what always happens in the movies. And so people think that's what life's supposed to be like. And they play video games and they can always push a reset button. I find people don't live in reality. They make incredibly dumb decisions and think it's going to turn out okay and somehow they're going to be able to push a reset button, or that at the end, I know it's really bad now, but it's going to turn out great in the end. And then they're broken, miserable, or hurt, or wounded, or the relationship breaks apart, and they say, how did this happen? I've likened it sometimes. I mean, I've sat in jail sometimes with people who've done really bad things. People who shot people. I mean, just, and they're just like saucer-eyed going, I can't believe I'm really in jail. I really could stay in jail for decades. And this can't be real. Get back in real land. The devil's great at making you think, it's so amazing, the devil makes you think you're going to do something really dumb and really bad and it's going to turn out good. God is not mocked. And in the end, and you say, well, what about this story? God won't be mocked in this story either. But understand, they did right, and it went terrible. I remember one spiritual man one time saying, he says, you know, one of the first signs I know that God is beginning to really hear my prayer is everything goes exactly opposite of what I prayed for. Is that often the first step in me getting a prayer answered is looks like it's not going to get answered. And I'm being tried to see if I'll continue to pray. That's good news, isn't it? And they go out and they lose. And so what do? They said, oh man, this is terrible. And the children of Benjamin came out, verse 21, verse 22, the men of Israel encouraged themselves. There we go. David, on the worst day of his life up to that point, when all of his family and his entire city, when he was off on one mission, his entire family and city and everybody was taken away, and then the people who were with him on the journey, all of his soldiers, when they came back and saw that their families were taken too, he said, let's kill David. On that day, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They encouraged themselves. You've got to be able to encourage yourself on dark days. If you can only encourage yourself by finding good news, you're going to find some days where you can encourage yourself. But they encouraged themselves and said, you know what, we can do this. We had a setback. They didn't say, God, we prayed and did what you said. They said, you know what, guys, we can do this. We got to do this. We're going to make it. God's on our side. This is the right thing. We're going to do it. Sometimes you get punched in the mouth and you say, ouch, I'm going to whoop this guy. Not, huh? I can't believe he hit me. You cannot be weak and paralyzed and be a good Christian. You're in a war against demonic forces that are very powerful. And they encourage themselves. You got to be able to do that. And verse 21, verse 22, the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even. It's another praying again, another crying and praying till evening. And asked counsel of the Lord, saying, whom shall go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. Shall I go up? The children of Israel went before the Lord and asked counsel and said, shall I go up again to battle against them? Lord, we lost. Should I do this again? God said, yeah, go on up. Go up against them. Children of Israel came near. They asked counsel of God again, right? And God said what? Go fight them. And so they go and they obey God. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second time. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel. Again, 18,000 men, all that drew a sword. That's not the way it's supposed to go. I read the book. And always you're supposed to, you do the right thing happens. Good things happen right away. And it didn't. It got whooped again. They prayed, they asked God's counsel. God said, go fight them. And they went and fought them. And all of a sudden they're going, okay, God told us to fight them. Let's go. And all of a sudden, oh, we're getting killed. They're slaughtered again. Run for your lives. When they obeyed. Am I seeing that wrong? They obeyed. They prayed about it. They wept all day praying. They prayed again and wept. And they lost again. 18,000 men. So what did they do? They prayed again. Verse 26. And all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. Word isn't there, but again, it was in the last time. For the Ark of the Covenant was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood up before those days. Shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? Now, interesting. If you look, remember, God says, I preserve every word. Not one jottle tittle. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God phrases that very carefully. He says how he said it. He said, shall I go out again against Benjamin, my brother? Why do you think he asked that? Why do you think he put in Benjamin, my brother, in there this third time? Anybody else? Why do you think he asked that? He's my brother. You think maybe they started to say, Lord, maybe we're not winning because we're not supposed to fight against our own brothers. Maybe they started to doubt. Maybe they started to say, Lord, I know you led us in this, but do you understand? And you say that would be a dumb thing to say to God. You know, very, 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 very common as a person who talks to a lot of pastors, very common for a pastor to go, God has called me to go to Tallahassee to start a church. And they go to Tallahassee and they go start doing the work of God. God called me to go to this church, take this church over in Mississippi. And they go take that church over and all of a sudden things go bad. And they, all of a sudden when God led them so clearly, they say, now Lord, things are going bad. Are you sure you led me here? Dumb question to ask God. You know what? I'm not sure. What was I thinking? You know what? You're right. I got all mixed up. I thought you were him. But they begin to question in the darkness, and they begin to have doubts, and it's normal. It's just the thing is you don't change with your doubts, because the Lord doesn't change. He says, shall I go and get a battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? Should I stop? Should I quit? And the Lord said, go tomorrow. Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver him into your hand. Ah. They asked direction a third time, and what happened? The answer came. God never told them they were going to win. He never did. He told them to go do it. Now the third time he says, go up tomorrow and I'll give you the victory. And finish the story, it ends good. They go up, they fight against him and slaughter him. They trick them. They act like they're getting beat again. Israel did. They run backward and they run away, but they got a bunch of people waiting by the side of the city. As soon as they run out of the city, the soldiers, they come up behind them and kill them and burn the city and everything behind them, and then they panic and kill all of them. And so they win the battle. So a few questions and a few thoughts on this. The answer came and the Lord intervened. Then the Lord intervened. Until then, it was almost like it was numerically wrong. They were getting whooped worse than they should have. They were losing as many. They had 400,000. They were losing as many in a day as the other guys had people. It was almost like God was against them. It was so bad. And you say, look, 28,000, 18,000, 20, I got it written down somewhere. It came out to be 40,000. Yeah, they lost 22,000 and 18,000 the second day. And so when you have that, look at 40,000 people died, and it's terrible. And why did God do that? Why did God tell them to go fight, and then they lost? And why did God do that? You want to know the answer? I have no idea. You say, no, you got to know why. No, you don't. I have no idea why God told him to go fight twice and he lost all those men. And if you can't get to that point in your life where you go, I have no idea why you're doing that, God. But I trust you. And I'm going to keep on doing right. If you can't get to that point in your life, you will come to that point where you quit on God. Because you're going to come to that point where you're going to say, God, you do not seem like you are answering my prayers and doing what I ask you to do and doing even the right thing. It seems like you're doing the wrong thing. And we've minimized God to where we think we should be able to understand him. If you understand God, God is at least equal or lower than you. I'm glad I have a God that I cannot understand. If he was like me, he would be worth worshiping. He says in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are way higher than ours. And God said, because. That's what God says. And I decided a long time ago, God's good. He knows what he's doing. And I don't understand everything he does. There's lots of things. I don't understand why Mrs. Soto has this severe lupus. For me to explain to you and say, this is why, I don't have any idea. I see nothing but a detriment out of it, of a godly person. But it doesn't change my opinion of God. God's good. My kids many times said, that seems like a dumb idea. Till they get to be a little older. You probably thought your parents pretty stupid. Did some things that were really... Why do they do that? Because you're 8 and you know everything now. You get older and all of a sudden you say, that's why they did that. Maybe that's what we're all going to do when we get to heaven. You say, no, but that story, it's obvious. 40,000 men dead for no reason. There's no way I'll understand that. You sound like an 8-year-old. In other words... Some things that God does, you have no idea, but you know the character of God, that if he would give his son for us, he must be a good God. If he loves us and listens to us and does most things kindly and good and lovingly as a loving father. But sometimes you say, that was original to God. Number one, we do not know why the Lord didn't give the victory from the start. If you understood God, he would be like us. That's first thought. You say, that's not a cheerful thought. It actually is a very cheerful thought. That God knows what he's doing and he can be trusted. And if something bad happens, all things work together for good to them who love God. And that God is, the Lord is the God of the universe. He's not this lower down thing we make him that has to answer to us. He's a sovereign God of the universe who has a right to take the entire universe like you would a little green pea and squish it. Because he made it in a second. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, his pleasure, they are and were created. He can do whatever he wants. That's number one. You must get that at some point in your life that God's good. If God chooses a wheelchair for you, so be it. I don't think these sermons are really meant to build a crowd. Number two, worry more about the war than the battle. Worry more about the war than the battle. Don't quit. You know how many setbacks I've had in my Christian life? Now, I've always been on the upward way. I've just been serving the Lord, you know, for the whole time. But man, there's been some valleys. There's been some times where I blew it. There's been some times where I went backward. And I didn't go away from God, but man, the devil just, But I, the devil got me. He won that battle. Do you know the North? Do you know the North almost lost a civil war in the first battle? I mean, they almost lost the civil war in the first battle. You know, America got destroyed in our first battle of World War II. I mean, we got whooped. I believe it's 55 Japanese to 2,900 Americans. That's not fair. We quit. It didn't matter if you quit against the Japanese. They're going to come kill you anyway. And it doesn't matter if you quit against the devil. He still pounds you. He's not a person that says, okay, you quit. Get up now. Go dust yourself off. No. He says, you quit? Awesome. I'm not going to get hit again. Then he jumps on you more. You're in a war until you breathe your last breath or the trumpet sounds and you go to heaven. You're in a war for the rest of your life. You're going to have battles you get beat in. But you got to win the war. And you got to keep on fighting. And you just keep on fighting. You keep on fighting. Satan looked like he won the war with Jesus, but it wasn't. But he got Judas. You've got to realize there's battles in a war, and sometimes there's ebbs and flows, but you're going to stay in the war until you win. You cannot quit because you lost 28,000 the first day and 12,000 the second day or whatever it was. You got to keep on fighting. You got to keep on going to war. You got to say, I will not quit. They kept on going. Don't quit even when a battle goes bad. You did a terrible job. You blew it at home. Man, you know how many times I've blown it at home? And I knew I blew it, but I kept on arguing that I didn't blow it. You ever know you're bad, know you're wrong? And you say, would you quit talking about this? Because I'm right. And I don't want to tell you anymore, I'm right. And you know later you're going to be apologizing for it, but you guys probably don't do that. Me. And you blow it. Oh, I give up. Forget the kids. Forget the family. I'm done. I blew it. Man, marriages would last a short amount of times. Your marriage is a war. You keep on fighting. And that's what I meant. But just want to see if you're listening. And so you go back in and fight again. You leave the house, walk back in and start the fight again. And so... That finally got someone to like my sermon. And pastor told me I could. You know, wife, when he says, let me calm down for a minute. No, let's talk about right now. Leave me alone. Ah! It's a wonderful characteristic of women. They want to talk it all out and do not give the man time to calm. That works real good. In life, in a church, we're going to have some bad Sundays. I mean, we're going to come here. The crowd's going to be down. The air conditioning's not going to be working. I'm going to preach a sermon. And I'm going to lay an egg so big it can hatch twin dinosaurs. I mean, it's going to be a Sunday. We're going to have a crazy person walk in church and do crazy things. It happens, you know, pretty much every Sunday. And we're going to have a bad Sunday. You know what? We'll have next Sunday after that. We've had some bad Sundays. Man, I've had bad Sundays. When certain people came the first time. We've had some bad, and we have. But you know what? It's a lifelong thing. You're going to have some times when you as a Christian fail on God, but you say, I love you so much, Jesus, I'm going to get back up. Adjustment falls seven times and rises up again. You know, we want to keep on going. The people who stayed a long time at church are people who are in a war, not in a battle. That's the people who've been here for, you know, pick on Matthew, but he's been here for 13, 14 years. And you know, some of you, you're going to find out pastor's not perfect. You will at some point. You haven't yet. And you're going to find out that your spouse isn't perfect. You're going to find out, and we're just going to have to learn that we're in a war. Number three, and they prayed again. And they prayed again. I love that. They didn't give up on prayer. because the answer didn't come. They prayed again. Luke 18:1. Look, Jesus wants us to learn to pray and not quit. Notice they went up, prayed, that and what they prayed for, and when they obeyed, it went dead wrong. They prayed again. They did it again, and went dead wrong. And the third time, it happened, but they prayed again. In Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a certain parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means you don't quit. You keep on praying, you keep on praying. And he gives a parable. There was a certain judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continue a coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Sometimes God makes you pray a long time, and he puts up with it and just listens to you. I tell you, he will avenge him speedily. When the answer comes, it comes fast. That's what happened in Gibeah. All of a sudden, God said, get him tomorrow. Boom, the whole battle is done. He'll avenge him speedily. But when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find someone who will keep praying when prayer doesn't seem to be working? Who will pray for a decade for something? Who will be a prayer warrior for a long, long period of time? Their relative is not getting saved, but they're going to keep praying. The job did not come in, but they're going to keep praying. The health did not change, but they're going to keep praying. The person's life did not turn around, but they're going to keep praying. Revival did not happen, but they're going to keep praying. He calls that faith. And he says, when I come back, am I going to find any of that? Or does everybody say, I prayed about it and nothing happened? And then it got worse. I prayed for their health, and all of a sudden their health got worse. That happens sometimes. But you keep on praying. You pray for revival, and we get another adult bookstore. But how about we keep on praying and see if maybe all of a sudden when the war is over, all of them are gone. You keep on praying. You don't quit. Pastor Jack Hiles, when he was in Indiana, God laid in his heart, you're supposed to start a Bible college. And he didn't want to, but God spoke to him. And then he went to his deacons, says, emergency deacons meeting. He says, guys, God has laid in my heart to start a Bible college. We need to start one. They said, okay, we vote for it. They voted unanimously for it. And he said, okay. And so he says, we have no location for it. We don't have anywhere to do that. And God put in his heart a 100-acre thing out in Crown Point, Indiana, 100-acre property. It was a Catholic seminary. And he went up and he said, I think this land God wants us to have. So walked up to the door, knocked on the door of the seminary. The Catholic priest came out and said, can I help you? He said, I'm Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. And he says, we would like to buy this property and have a Bible college. He said, it's not for sale. And if it was for sale, the last person we would sell it to would be the Baptist. And he says, you're right. The last person you sell it to will be the Baptist. And we're going to pray for it. And for 2 years, one night every month, he took off his shoes because he thought it was going to be holy ground and walked around on that property and prayed for that property. And the attendance started dropping from it's a big campus, from a lot of students down and down and down. Went down to 18 students. Finally, he said, you know what? We're going to close this thing. We don't have enough students here. Let's see if anyone would like to buy it. But it took 2 years of praying for that property. And then they got the property, started the Bible college, and God used it. But he had to pray for 2 years. We don't have people who can pray for 6 months anymore. A month. We want an answer now. We're microwave society. We're fast food society. And if it doesn't go well, we either quit on prayer or quit on God. They prayed again. And it went bad, and they prayed again. And it went bad, and they prayed again. But you know what we do? We lose faith because we doubt ourselves so much. And you say, you know what? They're never going to change. When I pray, I'm not even really praying anymore. If I do pray. You know what I'm talking about? But they prayed again. Persistent prayer. And God said, sometimes I'm going to make you cry day and night for a long time. And I'm not going to answer until it's time. And I'm going to let some bad things happen in the meantime. Because I'm God. And I do what I want to do. He had done whatsoever he hath pleased, the Bible says. So we learn to pray again. And that's the whole thing I want us to learn. Is I want us to learn that you don't know why the Lord didn't get the victory. You don't understand God. Worry more about the war than the battle. And then They prayed again. At the end of World War II, they were on the Missouri signing the peace treaty with the Japanese. But there were some ugly battles. There was Pearl Harbor. There was Guadalcanal. There was the Philippines. There was Guam. There was Iwo Jima. Okinawa. There were some terrible battles. There's battles that we lost after Pearl Harbor. Listen, but you don't give up. Because it's a war and it's a lifetime and you're doing this till you die and you're going to keep fighting Satan and the prayers will work over time. But you got to keep going. And God many times has said, man, if they'd have prayed one more month, the breakthrough would have happened. Well, I find faith when I get there. And they prayed again. Let God do what he wants to do. And you just stick with your job, which is asking and obeying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what we get here. Thank you for what we can see in this story, Lord. It's a strange story. Whenever I read that story, I think they can go up and take Gibby the first time. And Lord, I have no idea why they didn't. And no idea why they got beat so bad twice. But Lord, thank you they kept at it. Thank you, gave the victory. We pray we would experience that in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed.